ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम् फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 5 एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड ऋषभदेव्स टीचिंग्स टेक्स्ट 2। महत्सेवां द्वार सेवां द्वारमाहुर्विमुक्ते तमो द्वारं योषितां संगी संगम महांतस्ते समचित्ता प्रशांता विमन्यवः सुहृदः साधवो ये महत्सेवां द्वारमाहुर्विमुक्ते तमो द्वारं योषितां संगी संगम महांतस्ते समचित्ताः प्रशांता विमन्यवः सुहृदः साधवो ये महत्से। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। One can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. These personalities are impersonalists and devotees. Whether one wants to merge into the Lord's existence or wants to associate with the personality of Godhead, one should render service to the Mahatmas. For those who are not interested in such activities, who associate with people fond of women and sex, the path to hell is wide open. The Mahatmas are equipoised. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. They are very peaceful and are fully engaged in devotional service. They are devoid of anger and they work for the benefit of everyone. They do not behave in any abominable way. Such people are known as Mahatmas. Purport. The human body is like a junction. One may either take the path of liberation or the path leading to a hellish condition. How one can take these paths is described herein. On the path of liberation, one associates with Mahatmas. And on the path of bondage, one associates with those attached to sense gratification and women. There are two types of Mahatmas, the impersonalists and the devotee. Although their ultimate goal is different, the process of emancipation is almost the same. Both want eternal happiness. One seeks happiness in impersonal Brahman and the other seeks happiness in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As described in the first verse, Brahma Saukhyam. Brahman means spiritual or eternal. Both the impersonalist and the devotees seek eternal blissful life. In any case, it is advised that one become perfect. In the words of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Asat Sanga Tyaga Ei Vaishnava Achar Stri Sangi Eka Asadhu Krishna Abhakta Ar. To remain unattached to the modes of material nature, one should avoid associating with those who are asat, materialistic. There are two kinds of materialists. One is attached to women and sense gratification and the other is simply a non-devotee. On the positive side is association with Mahatmas, and on the negative side is the avoidance of non-devotees and women hunters. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnanashabdev is, Lord Rishabdev is beginning his very, very powerful and very, very clear instructions before leaving home at the end of his life to achieve perfection by setting an exemplary example himself. And before leaving, he is fulfilling the last part of his responsibility of handing over the responsibility to his sons. One of the responsibilities of a leader is to see that the spirit of the message is carried through in a very proper way. So now he is giving his instructions, and yesterday that was the first thing he said, actually what one must seek. That was yesterday's verse. What one should actually aspire for, what one should do any tapasya for. And today he is saying how to achieve that. Yesterday's verse was telling what to achieve. Na ayam deha deha bhajan riloke, especially having got the human form of life. Kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujamye. One should not struggle, endeavor really hard, as Prabhupada generally translates this as struggle for existence. Even to exist in this world is such a struggle, just to make the two ends meet, what to speak of trying to enjoy. So struggle is inevitable. Even just to survive, struggle is inevitable. But then, anyway we have to struggle, why not struggle for the best? In Hindi there is a saying, Khoda pahad nikli chuhiya. You dig a huge mountain and then out comes a little mouse. That means so much of endeavor and vari bindu sama, as Prabodhananda Saraswati I think says, that is like a drop in a desert. So you walk all along, your existence is drying up and you struggle so much, and in the end you get just a drop of water, which makes you more thirsty than ever before. If you are just thirsty, that's all right. But when a few drops of water are put in the mouth and the taste is gone, then you become more miserable. So, anyway, that struggle is there. So he says, Kastana kaman arhati vidbhujamye. Why struggle for those kind of immediate, superficial, temporary benefits, which is even available to the dogs and hogs who have no access to the special gift, the prerogative of human form of life? Tapo divyam putraka. One should do some austerity, tapa, but he says tapo divyam, not ordinary austerity. One should do divyam, divine or transcendental, tapo divyam. Why? why should we do that austerity? Tapo divyam putraka, yena sattvam shuddhyet. So what is spiritual austerity? That which purifies one's existence. Which purifies one's existence. And why should one purify one's existence? What is the necessity? Yena sattvam shuddhyet. Yasmat Brahma Saukhyam. He says, if we purify our existence, why should we purify? Because we will get spiritual happiness. Brahma Saukhyam. Then somebody may ask, why spiritual happiness? What's so special about it? He says, Anantam. It is eternal. Just 60, 70 years of austerity, and that is also not really austerity if we actually analyze it. And you get eternal life of bliss, happiness. Whereas, whole life we endeavor for a just drop of happiness. That is foolish. That is meant for people who have no access to this human form of life. So having got the human form of life, one should not waste for anything else other than deriving eternal, spiritual, ever-increasing bliss. Shuddhyam, this word Shuddha, in 10th canto there is a beautiful verse which explains what is this. Shuddha means cleansing. One devotee was telling me recently in Kolhapur, every time he was asking any devotee he meets, he was asked, all senior devotees, he would ask one question. How do we know we are advancing spiritually? He would ask this to everyone till he was getting a satisfactory kind of answer. So, it seems one thing, of course many devotees told many things, but one thing that actually appealed to him, he said, was when he was told that advancement means going closer to your natural constitutional position. That is advancement. How close are you going to your natural constitutional position? Eternal, knowledgeable and full of bliss. That is a sign of advancement. That means you are advancing. And in this 10th canto verse, it says beautifully, what is this Shuddham, cleansing? And it says different things get cleansed by different ways. Just like anything in this room, if you see, everything needs cleaning. The floor, everything needs cleaning. The fan, the bulb, the chairs, the furniture, the board, microphone. Over a period of time, everything gets contaminated. Dust settles in. And everything has to be cleansed. But, if you see, to clean different things requires different things. Different cleaning agents. For the floor, we may use water. For, we may not use the same water for cleaning a microphone. Because there the cleansing is different. And for cleaning different items, just like at home, to clean different items, we have different ingredients or different cleaning agents. Different kinds of brushes are there to clean even dust out of different like paintings. So like that, as many different objects, different kinds of cleaning agents are there. So he says, how some objects become clean by washing them. Some objects, like the body, becomes clean by bathing. But there are some things which are, like for example, money. How do you clean money? If it's a coin, you may put it under the tap. If it is note, you may clean it. That's not the way of cleansing. Because while acquiring money, there is subtle contamination. Knowingly, unknowingly, some karmic reactions are attached to the money. So you can't clean that by water. You can't clean it under a tap. How to cleanse that money? Shuddhyanti danaihi. He says, if you want to clean the money, wash it off of contamination, then you have to give charity. So the more subtler a thing is, there is a subtle ways of cleaning things. So if you want to purify money, then you have to give charity. Charity cleanses the wealth. Then how to clean the mind? Mind is cleansed santushtyaha, by satisfaction. If we don't become satisfied with whatever situation the Lord has kept us, then our mind is contaminated with either lust or greed. It's a subtle contamination. And that contamination can only be cleansed by santushtyaha, satisfaction. Then, go further in. How do we clean the soul? It says, Atma, Atmavidyaya. The soul can be cleansed by Atmavidyaya, by knowledge of self. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. And what is knowledge of self? Rajavidya, the king of all knowledge. That is bhakti. And bhakti begins by hearing and chanting. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. The heart, which is now covered over, as Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dhumena Avrite Vanhir Yatha Darsho Malena Cha. Yathulvena avrato garbhaha tathate nedamavratam. The soul is covered different layers. The more gross covering is the child in the womb. Slightly lesser than that is mirror covered by dust. And less than that is fire covered by smoke. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains so beautifully. He says, why the child in the womb is considered darkest? Because there the form and the function both are not visible. When the child is in the womb, nobody knows what is the shape of the child. The form of the child is not visible and the function of the child is also not manifest. But in the mirror covered with dust, at least the form of the mirror is manifest, but the function of the mirror is not happening because it is covered over. And fire covered by smoke, the form of the fire is seen. And the function of the fire is also there to some extent. When it's a blazing fire, the more the fire, the less the smoke. So he says, this is a different degrees of covering. So, Atma Atma Vidyaya Shuddhyanti, for cleansing of the consciousness, the only process is devotional service. Kevala Kevala Bhaktya, as it's also described in the 6th canto, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayanaha Agham Dhunvanti Katsnena. Agham, the sinful activities or reactions or mentality, is dhunvanti. Dhunvanti means thorough cleansing. Karsnena means completely. Niharam iva bhaskarah. When the sun rises, then the whole fog disappears. Similarly, simply by, as Haridas Thakur explained to Gopal Chakravarti in the house of Raghunath Das uncles, Govardhan and Hiranya Mujumdar, he said, what to speak of liberation? What to speak of cleansing of sinful desires? Even the glimpse of the holy name, the real purpose of chanting the holy name, these are just byproducts to get liberation or relief from sinful reactions. But the aham is amhah samharad udayadeva sakala lokasya. It says, when the sun of holy name rises, even the nama bhas can give your liberation. But the real purpose is to develop pure love for Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. It is already there. So what is actually cleansing? The cleaning means to bring an object to its original state. When you bring an object to its original state of being, that is called cleaning. And that cleansing of the consciousness, that is the nature of the soul, the symptom of the soul, is done by Atma Vidya, that is Raj Vidya, that is Bhakti, which begins with hearing and chanting. So, after explaining that, in this verse, Rishabhdev is giving an indication. Now, how to achieve that? The goal of life is to cleanse our consciousness, cleanse our existence, to bring it to its original state. And to do that, the most important thing is association. We become what we associate with. Or as Shakespeare said, tell me who your friends are, I'll tell you who you are. Whom are the people you always are with? A man is known by the company he keeps. Just like if a nice breeze, in and of itself the breeze is very pure, but if it flows over a garden of roses, then it becomes very fragrant. But the same air, pure air, when it flows over some sewage, then it becomes contaminated, it becomes foul smelling. So in and of itself, the air is very pure, but then what kind of association, what kind of object it comes in contact with, that kind of quality it acquires. Therefore, association is most important. In fact, in the Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami, the most grave philosopher, has condensed all the instructions that are there in the Vedic scriptures to achieve the ultimate perfection of life, and thoroughly, after extracting the essence, just given the hardcore instructions, what is necessary. Not one word more, not one word less. Crisp, very short. It's like sutras. Now, when you write a telegram, you don't, beat around the bush and use unnecessary words, because each word costs a lot of money. Similarly, Rupa Goswami, without wasting even a single word, every word is heavily loaded with information. Just like when you boil milk, it becomes, you add milk, and then it's going to curd, and then you churn it and it becomes butter, and then you heat it, then it becomes ghee. That means concentrated. One drop of ghee is equal to so much glass of milk or whatever, like that. The more you boil it, all contamination goes. Unnecessary things goes off and essence remains. Similarly, Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita, in just 11 verses, has given all that is to be practiced, all the rules and regulations. So in such a instruction, he will never use a word unnecessarily redundant, double, twice. But there is one thing he uses two times in a different context. He says six things that are favorable to devotional service and six things that are unfavorable to devotional service. In six things that are favorable, he says, utsahat, nishaya, dhairya, tattat karma pravartanat, sangatyagat, satovrittehi shadbhir bhakti prasiddhyati. Sangatyagat, giving up the association of particular kind of. And then, in the next verse, he says, what is to be given? Atyahara prayasascha, prajalpo niyamagraha, janasangascha, laulyamcha, shadbhir bhakti vinashyati. Both places, if you want to advance, you have to give up improper association. And if you want to carefully avoid falling down, then you have to be very careful about what association. So that shows how important it is, even in those verses of essential instructions if he has to repeat it twice. Of course, it is not the same, there is a subtle difference. It is explained that Sangha Tyagat and Janasangasya. In Janasangha, it means association of ordinary people. Ordinary people means generally, ordinarily, you know, Manushanam Sahasreshu. Very rarely one becomes a devotee. That means ordinary people means those who are not devoted. And amongst those, all kinds of different levels of people come. Those who are karmis, those who are gyanis, those who are yogis. Under karmis, there are so many categories, logicians, false logicians, atheists, things like that. Subtle differences. And then in the Sangatyaga, that is, there he talks of Sangha as association and also attachment. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. Because by association, particular kind of attachments come. Attachment that we have very grossly to objects, attachment to certain kind of ideologies, attachment to certain preconceived notions. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, these deep-rooted convictions, which not only come in this life, but many of them are coming from previous lives. Karmakanda. People are naturally attracted to particular karmakanda rituals. There are some people who are naturally attracted to the process of jnana or liberation. It is so powerful that some of it, swabhava. Swabhava jena kaunteya. Krishna explains. But there is it's a nature that we have been carrying since previous lifetimes also. And this nature, till the point of suicide or death, they won't go away. They won't go away. Even till the point of suicide or death, the nature that has come, either in this lifetime due to deep-rooted association or what we carry from previous lifetimes, absolutely don't go away till the point of death or suicide. Then what is the hope? He says, the only hope is association of pure devotees. In the association of pure devotees, what to speak of association of contamination that are got in this lifetime, but contaminations of millions of previous lifetimes can be washed away by a moment's association of pure-hearted, advanced devotees of the Lord. And the example is given of Mrigari or Valmiki, all these people. So they were born in these kind of families simply because that was the previous sinful reactions. And having born, they were carrying so many kind of mentalities that are acquired from past lifetimes. But all of that, Kirat, Hun, Andhra, Pullinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumbha, Yavana, Khasadaya, Ye Anyecha Papa, Yadapashraya Ashraya, Shuddhyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. They get purified. Shuddhyanti. They come back to their original constitutional position simply by a moment's association with pure-hearted souls. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning itself, it's very interesting that Bhagavatam, which is the crest jewel of all literatures, Srila Vyasadeva, after beginning with the 6 questions of the sages and answering them, begins with his own example of how I was dissatisfied. And in spite of compiling all the Vedic literatures, the person who compiled the Vedic literatures, if he is not fully satisfied, then where is the question of getting satisfaction by reading for all of us? The person who compiled them, he himself is not satisfied. So he gives the example of how it is only possible by coming in contact with a great soul. And in Narada Muni comes and removes that. And in that few moments of association with Narada Muni, Vyasdev, all that misconception or illusion that he has, or whatever mistake, seemingly a mistake, that he made in diluting or compromising with the absolute truth, in wanting to give it to everyone, he had compromised a little. And immediately that is brought to notice. And then Vyasdev asks Narada Muni, how did you become Krishna conscious? One time Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was giving a class in Vrindavan. He very nicely mentioned this point. He said, when this BTG article used to come out, one of the favorite articles was how I came to Krishna consciousness. Everyone loves to hear. But especially one should know how one's guru came to Krishna consciousness. So he was interested. Oh, how you became Krishna conscious? Can you tell me? Because by hearing that, I am inspired. I want to follow in that footstep. Mahajano yanagata sapanthaha. So Vyasdev naturally asked that question. Can you tell me, how did you become Krishna conscious? And why has Vyasdev put it there? The explanation that Ravindra Swarup Prabhu gave is, he said, Bhagavatam is meant for Kali Yuga. Bhagavatam was compiled in the beginning of... Actually, the sages were asking this question. Prayen alpayusha sabhya kalavasmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayu manda bhagya hi upadrataha. The qualification for the Kali Yuga people are hopeless. There is no hope. So what is the hope? And then Vyasdev quotes the example of Narada Muni, who in his previous life had absolutely no qualification. He was a son of a maid servant, a Shudrani. Kalau Shudra Sambhavaha. That's actually, all of us are like that. We are born with no previous samskaras, no previous qualifications, no inclination, short lifespan. And even if someone has little inclination, there is so much chance of being misguided. Because so many philosophies, surcharged with philosophies which are not actually philosophies. Philosophy means actually love for truth. But this is all concocted, and so much of contaminated versions. But what was the qualification of Narada Muni? He associated for some time with the Bhakti Vedantas during the Chaturmas. That was his only. And he says, little qualification I had. I was a little grave. I was not mischievous. I didn't like to play around. He wanted to hear. He was not frivolous. He said, that was my only little qualification. That's all. And I used to just sit at the feet of these great souls when they were discussing, and I used to just hear from them. Just by hearing from them, and only once with their permission, taking their remnants, but rendering menial service to these great personalities, there was such a transformation in my heart that I developed a taste. Just by hearing, because great souls are those, Mahatmanas tu mam partha daivim prakriti vashritaha. Who is a Mahatma? It said here, Mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimukte. Who is a real Mahatma? There are two kinds of Mahatma, as Prabhupada explains. One is an impersonalist, and another is a devotee. But actually the impersonalist is not the ultimate Mahatma. Because according to Krishna's opinion, Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashritaha. They have taken shelter of the internal energy of the Lord. The other Mahatmas don't believe in the Lord having any energy. They believe in an impersonal, impotent God. But energy is there. They think that it's all illusion. The world is illusion. You just have to merge and become one. But the other Mahatmas, Mahatmanasumam Partha Daivim Prakriti Mashitaha, and essence of Daivi Prakriti is Srimati Radharani. They have taken shelter of Srimati Radharani. That means Bhakti Yoga. So, therefore, Satadam Kirtayanto Mam Yatantascha Drudhavrataha. And Prabhupada explains beautifully in that purport, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. How can you sing the glories of the Lord, name and form and activities and paraphernalia and abode, if you don't believe that He exists? So herein, the other kind of Mahatma are rejected. Of course, that kind of, at least it will transcend, or emancipation is got. The four other kinds of muktis may be got. But then the real mukti, mukti hitva anyatha rupam swarupena vyavasthitihi. The real mukti is got when we follow these Mahatmas, Daivim Prakriti Mashrita, who have taken shelter of the internal potency of the Lord. And Satadam Kirtayanto Mam, their whole life, their whole existence centers around utilizing everything that they have at their disposal to simply for the glorification of the Lord. Their every word, their every action, their every thought is simply how to glorify the Lord. They are surcharged with this taste for glorifying the Lord. So, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Yatantascha Dridhavrataha, and they are very, very determined. It's amazing. Prabhupada's last days, that cassette, the last lesson. Somehow many devotees said, we don't feel like watching. I was also thinking, should we or not? But then I did watch. In the last, I mean, just maybe a day or two before Prabhupada left this world, there was a cassette showing him, you know, Jayadvaita Maharaj or somebody is reading out the purports, the translation, and Prabhupada is giving the purport. Now, I was actually thinking, why is he doing this? In the sense, what is the necessity? He can relax now. Over so many cantos have been done, so many temples have been established, so many disciples have been made, everything is set up. There is no need for him to actually translate those last few verses. That's not going to create a revolution. It's already been done. And just few breaths left, and even in that, he's trying to do that. First of all, feeling easy. Easy kind of. Why should he do it? It's not, there is not even a duty. It's not that it's duty. But then, just like Haridas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling, you have delivered so many people, you have done everything, why do you need to chant? I said, no, my body is all right, but my mind is not proper. Or Sanatan Goswami had to be told, Raghunath Das Goswami had to be told, enough. You can go around Govardhan Shila, you don't have to go all this parikrama. One is to set an example, another thing is, that's their love. They have so much love that they just can't stop. What is the use of existence without serving? Better to die. And if there is life, air, then better to preach. That is love. He could have justified. There is no need. For last 6 months he could have justified. I can sleep now. Don't disturb me. And it was perfectly all right had he not done it. And it was not a big thing that he was not there. If those last chapter purports were not there, we would have not got anything less of Krishna consciousness. But it is, he said that what is the use of life? Life is meant simply for serving. Prana achejar shehetu prachar. So, coming in contact with those kind of devotees, you cannot but be touched to some extent or the other by that love. And what is the proof? The proof is, immediately after the Bhaktivedanta's left, his only shelter, his mother, a snake bit her and she died. And when a small child, 5-year-old, and the only shelter and hope is the mother, passes away, it's like a devastating incident. But Narada saw it in his previous life, as a Dasiputra saw it, as simply a benediction of the Lord. That was the last little attachment that was there, that also is now released. It's like a chain which was binding, and therefore I couldn't, you know, move, travel all over the world to look for God. And the last thing was, Krishna cut it. And he used, thanked the Lord, a 5-year-old child, only hope, only shelter being the mother, she also passes away. Instead of lamenting, instead of cursing God, because he had heard with a proper consciousness from the proper people, he had the proper attitude to see everything in proper perspective. And therefore he could appreciate that. And he used that opportunity to actually walk. Simply walk. Kheta kharvata vatimsa vanani upavanani. Simply travel. Why Prabhupada writes in that purport, why he traveled to, why it says he traveled through city, metropolises, janapadams, chaiva. He traveled through metropolises, he walked through mines, fields, forests. That means he traveled through all kinds of facilities for sense enjoyment. He could have got attached to a metropolis and decided to settle down, got a good job. But no, he was only looking for the absolute truth. And therefore, he just went on traveling. So that is the power. So in the first itself, the Bhagavat begins with the supreme most example of the best devotee, whose mere contact has made powerful devotees all over the world, Narada Muni, and his own life, how I came to Krishna consciousness. Simply by association for a few moments with these great Bhaktivedantas. And he just went on traveling. And in one particular verse, it says, what was his qualification? He says, I was non-envious. And Prabhupada writes in that purport very nicely. He says, the life of a sincere devotee is given in a nutshell in this verse. The life of a sincere devotee. And what is that life of a sincere devotee? He says, simply utilizing every all energy to preach. And how to overcome envy? He said, by making the spiritual world the goal of one's life. And not being attached to any other material position. So the root of overcoming envy is make your goal the spiritual world. Then you will not be envious of anyone in this material world. Even Brahma and Indra's position will be kitayate. Then where is the question of envy? If someone is occupying one nice post, that's all right, because you don't want to stay here at all. You want to go to the spiritual world. So you are happy if more people are coming to the spiritual world. And there is no question. There is, everyone can have all the things and still be satisfied. That is the absolute world. That is not a relative world. That's an absolute world. There is absolutely only one master and everyone is absolutely his servant. There is no envy, there is no question. Everyone knows who is who. So in this way, all this, which is the root cause, Tamodvaram Yoshitam Sanghi Sangam. Yoshitam Sanghi, basically what is that? Is envy. Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami Sakali Ashanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Atayeva Shanta. Prashanta, this word is used here. There is no kama. Sashanti Mapnoti Nakama Kami. Vihaya Kama. In the second chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, Vihaya Kaman, one who is given up Kama. Kama means lust, which is a perverted, contaminated consciousness of love. That's all. So one who is completely done with the material lust is sa shantim apnoti, na kama kami. And who can achieve that shanti? Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram surdam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim rachati. Because they are convinced that only enjoyer is Krishna. And my existence is simply to give enjoyment to the Lord. Prashanta. Shanta is one thing. Prashanta means completely peaceful. At peace. One peace is Om Shanti Shanti. That is Brahman realization. No more miseries. Shanti. But then, this Shanti is different. Prashanti means, even in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was very peacefully fighting the war. He was at peace with himself while shooting arrows and getting angry and doing whatever the needful. But he was completely at peace because he knew that even in his anger, even in his whatever way, he was simply serving the Lord out of love. So that kind of association one should aspire for. We are also so fortunate that we have the association of so near to another great Bhakti Vedanta. What Narada Muni had in his previous Kalpa, we have had just as early as 1977. And we have that association of Bhakti Vedanta through his books, through his wonderful disciples, associates, through his wonderful example. We are so fortunate. Now we have to make ourselves fortunate by associating properly. Real association means actually it's a question of consciousness. One is physical association, but another thing is, I mean, to really get advantage of the association, it depends on consciousness. To the extent a person is eager, and that eagerness is judged by how sincere are we to apply those instructions to our life. After having heard and understood and clarified if required, how eager are we to apply it? That is the mood. And if that is there, then the same benefit. In one lifetime, he became a pure devotee, Narada. Prabhupada also said, you can go back in this very lifetime. One lifetime was enough. What is there? Bahunam janmanam ante vasudevam sarvamiti. But this is in one lifetime. It's a question of how intense and how eager. Narada Muni took advantage of that association by putting it, his whole life was actually a manifestation of those instructions. Krishna told, he said, you will not see me in this life. I have given you a taste. Now this whole life is, you have to develop that love, hankering. So that way, we are fortunate to have so near the association. As Prabhupada would say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has just come now. He saw 500 years just now, compared to, you know, Anarpita Charim Chirat. So similarly, we are much more fortunate that his commander-in-chief, associate, exclusively come for distributing and fulfilling the instructions or the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has just now come and given us. So close, just 30, 33, 40 years. It's absolutely nothing. We can take advantage and achieve perfection. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Okay. Yeah. Prabhuji. We'll take one question. It's already time.
Hare Prabhu. So, you're saying the importance of actually association of a pure devotee, one moment association is so important. So, for those who live in different parts of the world where that association may not be there, so by hearing lectures or by reading Prabhupada's books, is that same benefit achieved? by doing like that, by hearing, say, lecture or a reading?
Yes. At least according to Bhakti Vinod Thakur, it's true. Says, he reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when they are still living in sound. Vaishnavas die to live and live to spread the holy name around. So, that's what it means to be spiritual. When it says that kind of association is spiritual. That many, Niranjan Swami Maharaj was giving example of one Russian devotee, and Shivaram Swami was given from some Hungarian one lady, old lady. She got Prabhupada's book and she was so eager to come and visit. For her this was like a Mecca, to visit the whole place where Prabhupada was living, etc. So it's a question of consciousness. If that desperation is there, if Krishna sees that, he can give that connection. And if we are following that, then somehow Krishna makes the arrangement where to get the next step. And he gives indications, clear indications to a sincere person. Just like Narada, he just didn't know. He had no one to turn to. He just was traveling, and then Krishna saw that he was really eager. He pacified that, but then simultaneously told him, you have to purify further. So, that connection will be given. Many of us, at least we can speak for ourselves, we didn't even know what we are looking for. How did we get it? You know, somehow through books or through kirtan or through devotees or whatever. And the devotees may not be very pure who initially met us, probably. But they are handing the message, and that message is pure. And to the extent we are pure in our motive, to that extent we can take full advantage. And when we come to the right, you know, if need is there, he will connect. He's seated in everyone's heart, he sees. And he says we are ripe enough, he will give connection for further advancement. Whatever is required, indications will be there, message will come. So, anyone wants to add to this? Yeah, Sinkavach Prabhu. You want to add to this? Yeah.
There's a comment from Srila Prabhupada, I believe it's in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. He says, you take darshan of a sadhu not by seeing, but by hearing.
Yeah.
So that's how you associate with by hearing.
Real sadhu is recognized by hearing. Yeah. Is that okay, Prabhu? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Nithai Gaura Primanam.